at 532, let me tell you. He said the text refers to the apostles. First of all, he asked me, who is obeying him referring to? At 532, which says God has given to them that obey him. He said, was it adjective or something referring to somebody? Well, let me ask you, who is Hebrews 5:9 referring to? He said, God has given a God of Jesus to offer eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Who is he referring to? Everybody knows. Those that obey him, seven. They're both the exact same group of instructions.
Matter of fact, it's on this chart. Raise it up. In Hebrews 5, verse 9, it's just like Acts 5:32, in that it's the articular participle used as indirect object, dative, and plural. Exactly the same in the Greek construction.
Who is it referring to? It says Jesus gave the doctrine of eternal salvation to all them that obey him.
So everybody is. Exactly the same construction.
That's who Acts 5:32 is on. That's the same name. To those that obey him. Everybody.
He said it refers to the apostles. Now, Mary and Doug said, Mr. Hutto and I worked on this, especially Mr. Hutto. Remember, this is our particular participle. It cannot refer to the apostles. Okay? That Summers, page 90, that's his rule. You quoted it in blue 136. Here's the rule. The participle agrees with the noun that modifies in gender, number, and case. Notice in case. Now, them that obey him, verse 32, date is case. Apostle, verse 29, is nominative case. Now, that's your kind of argument. You know, on the Greek, you quoted that ruling, page 136, quoted Summers, page 90, according to the rule you quoted, those that obey him cannot be referring to the apostles.
Those against this grammar rule that's in this book. Okay?
That's what it is. Now, let's notice, he thinks it's only the apostles, but he says them that obey him. You know, already at this time, we had at least 5,000 to 8,000 people who had already been obeying him, present him. They were obeying him, present him. He admitted, remember my first speech, Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than him, same Greek word, actually the same context, talking about the same thing. He admitted that obedience includes a number of things, one of which is when a young adult should obey the gospel, that's initial salvation, when his parents disapprove. He said it includes that. Well, it includes that, and it includes the wife obeying God when her husband doesn't want to go to church. If it includes those Christians in China obeying God when the government won't let them meet for worship services, then it includes more than just preaching the gospel. He admits it. What do I have to do? I prove these things with the Bible, I prove it with his own Greek rule, and then I get him to admit it. He's still more great. He admits it includes more than just preaching the gospel, but it includes all these other things, them that obey him. He admits it. And God said that he will give the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. And he said that includes a young man who has to obey God and obey the gospel even though it can't be true. So what that means is when that young man obeys God rather than men, his parents, God gives him the Holy Ghost. He admitted it. That's what the passage teaches. Now, according to his own Greek rule, it can't be referring to the apostles.
That's his own Greek rule.
You said they have to agree in case, and they're not in the same case. When I'm dated case, when I'm nominated case. And don't forget, audience, that Hebrews 5:9, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. We all know that's everybody. It's exactly the same in the Greek construction. Articular participle uses indirect objects, dative, and plural. And Hebrews 5:9 is just the apostles, it's everybody. Why did he just say Hebrews 5:9 is only talking about the apostles? You know why? I think he would if he had to for it to fit his system. But he doesn't have to for it to fit his system, therefore we just believe what it says. But Acts 5:32, he can't believe what it says. It won't fit his system. So he comes up with this all this stuff about it only being the apostles. I don't know why. Why not just believe what it says? Why not?
Isn't that what we're here for, to believe what the Bible says?
Okay, so did I cover that first?
Okay. Now let me get to some other things he said. Put up number 60. He went to this idea of the same expression must mean the same thing elsewhere every time. I don't know that he believes that. That's the way he takes it every time. We found it in England where he admitted it was different, and then he said, well, you've got to go to three.
Well, let's bring up something else he said in this book. This is on blue 155. This is his argument for consistency of language and the gift of the Holy Ghost. He talks about filled with the Holy Ghost, received. But most important to this discussion is gift of the Holy Ghost. Here's what he said in blue 155. since the same Greek word is translated comforter in John 14:16 and advocate, 1 John 2:1, comforter and advocate, same Greek word, this is referring to the Holy Ghost, it's referring to Jesus, for in his reason they have to be the same. Some think that these two words must be the same. This is used in an attempt to prove that two different persons of the Godhead can occupy the same office or work. The work of the comforter, John 14, was miraculous, and the work of the advocate, 1 John 2:1, is non-miraculous. Same Greek word, he says it's not the same word. Some people use that because it's the same Greek word. They say, this is what Marion said. Some people say since it's the same Greek word, it has to be the same office. He says, no, just because it's the same Greek word doesn't mean it's the same office. This goes exactly contrary to what he's been doing both nights of this debate. It's as in his own book. He's using this against the one that's Pentecostal's idea. And then he goes on to say the work of the comforter was miraculous, but the work of the advocate, Jesus, the comforter is Holy Ghost, not the same, advocate is Jesus, is not miraculous. Now let me just write this same sentence, almost word for word, but I'm going to substitute in what I've been saying. I'm going to use his exact logic and substitute in what I've been saying. Since the same Greek phrase is translated the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 and 10:45, some, like Marian, think that these two gifts must be the same. This is used in an attempt to prove that Acts 2:38, gift of the Holy Ghost, is not universal. But now notice how similar this sentence is to this. The Acts 10:45 gift was miraculous, and the Acts 2:38 gift is non-miraculous. Same Greek word, he says, but the difference, one's miraculous, one's not. That's exactly what I'm saying. Right out of your book. So don't get up here and tell us that it's the same Greek word, it's got to be the same every time. That's what you presented to the audience. I don't really feel that you believe that. You said right here you don't believe that. But that's the way it appears to the audience, that the same Greek word, it's got to be the same thing. That's not what you believe, that's not what I believe. You see, in Acts 2:38, in Acts 26:28, it says, A, permission of sins? Yes, A means in order to obtain in both places. But you know, it doesn't mean in order to obtain everywhere. The Bible says that David speaketh concerning Jesus in Acts 2. The word concerning is A. It doesn't mean in order to. A doesn't mean the same thing every time. It's in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. But the thing is, it always implies that when you're here, you haven't gotten there yet. It doesn't mean the same thing. It just means you haven't gotten there yet. Okay? Now let's go to part 23. Now we've done this over and over and over. We've proven, he argues that they've got to be the same thing, and we've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 cannot be 10:45. Cannot be equal. I don't believe we showed this chart, but it's saying the same thing. The personal indwelling of the Holy Ghost is given because you are sons. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has put forth the Spirit of His Son of His Son in your heart. You get this personal indwelling of the Spirit because you are sons, not before. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice you have to be baptized to get it. Acts 5:32, the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey Him. We freedom that to everybody. Notice you have to obey to get it. But, raise this up, Mike. The miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit is not conditioned upon being a son. It's not conditioned upon being baptized. It's not conditioned upon being completely obedient. And the case of Cornelius proves that. He got the miraculous gift before he became a son of God. He got it before he was baptized. And he got it before his obedience was completed in baptism. As a matter of fact, you have King Saul in 1 Samuel 19. In some form or fashion, he got a miraculous measure. Now, I don't know if it indwelled him or not, but it caused him to perform something miraculous, okay? Now, he got this while he was plotting to kill God's anointed, David, while he was laying down naked all day and night. He was not in a true relationship with God, yet he got the miraculous measure. But the thing we're talking about in this debate, the personal indwelling, Galatians 4:6 says you can't get it unless you are a son. John 7 says you only get it if you're a believer. Luke 11:13 says that you get it if you ask him. And you ask him by repenting and being baptized. Acts 2:38. Lower it back down. Acts 5:32 says you've got to obey it. Obey him to get it. Acts 2:38 says you've got to be baptized to get it. Does that sound like Cornelius and Saul? No way. Now put up number 8. They got to be different. As he admitted, there is a distinction. They're not parallel. These are his words. The purpose is different. And he was referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 and 10:45 when he said those words.
Wow.
That's exactly what I'm trying to prove. We're trying to get back to the chart we used last night. 1 Corinthians 6, fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? What is Paul's simple argument? Here, raise it up, Mike. The Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, therefore don't defile the Holy Spirit's temple by sinning with against the body. When you sin, the Holy Spirit, that is God's seal of approval, has to leave us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, he doesn't think it's possible, but the Bible says the Holy Ghost is in you. That's the quote. He says, that's impossible. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is in you. The evidence for my proposition is overwhelming. Chart number 10 on Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. This passage says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit being in earnest. The Bible says that means first installment, deposit, down payment, pledge, until we receive heaven. Notice some other translations. 2 King James verse of 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. Who also has filled us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. For earnest, as the King James version says. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Earnest. So the Holy Spirit, the earnest, or what God fills us with, according to the text, is given to us. All Christians, according to these three passages, receive the earnest as a seal, which is the Holy Ghost. Now the text specifies that it is the Holy Ghost. Okay, chart number 7. One thing the Holy Ghost does is separate and apart from the Word. I mean by that, one thing the Holy Ghost does, at least one, that the Word does not do. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Raise it up. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Word of God does not do that. You misunderstood me, Mary. You said that. I said that proskuneo never refers to the miraculous. I don't know if it does or not. That's not what I said. I said proskuneo, or kaleo, either one, never refers to the miraculous laying on the hand. That's what you've got to find. You believe Acts 2:38 is not just any miraculous. You believe the gift of the Holy Spirit is when the apostles laid hands on it. Never. Proskuneo or kaleo never refers to the miraculous laying on the hand. Then he said, Joel 2:32 is miraculous. Did you not hear what I said, Mary, in my previous speeches on this? I've been over it two or three times. I've already shown you it's not miraculous, but yet you did not respond to it. Joel 2:28-31 is miraculous. But look at Joel 2 at the beginning of verse 32. It begins the discussion of salvation, not the miraculous. It says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13 is a quote of that, and they say, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not talking about the miraculous, we begin here a discussion of deliverance from sin or salvation. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The calling there does not refer to the miraculous, especially not the miraculous laying on hands. It's the call to deliver from salvation in Acts 2:39 is a quote of that. That's what the Bible says about it. And you need to respond to that. Okay? And then he says the preposition changes meaning. Put up number 30 real quick. The cross on the first flail changes meaning. Well, Mary, I do believe that God has a reason for putting two different words in there. But are you saying two different Greek words always mean something different? You don't put on 2:1 in the country, do you? So you don't believe that. Now, if the preposition changes, the cross preposition changes the meaning so much, why didn't he answer my challenge to James 5? Did y'all notice he couldn't get up here and tell us that there were four times in possible echomites used in one echomite for praise. He didn't tell us this once in English. Evidently, the cross didn't change the meaning enough for him to tell. And he admitted, based on other charts, that the same Greek word doesn't always mean the same thing. So put up number 4. I wish I had more time. But I'm going to use a summary chart to show you what I've presented. You remember in Acts 2:38, if you'll repent, you'll be baptized, you'll receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? The Bible tells us. In Luke 11:13, it says, those that ask him, that is, repent and be baptized, will receive a raise it up. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That's what I believe. It's not the miraculous, but he's shown that it's universal from verses 9 and 10. He said, he agreed that context is universal. John 7, Spirit, which they believe that he should receive. We've shown that was universal, but he didn't respond to it. With the whole list of he that believeth. Acts 5:32, we've shown that was universal by his own admission. Romans 5:5, Holy Ghost, which is given to us, we've shown that over and over, that's universal, and hadn't responded to it. 1 Thessalonians 4:8, we've shown that's universal, he hadn't responded to it. By the context, we've done the same with 1 John 3:24, we've shown it's universal, he hadn't responded to it. We've done that with 4:17. The Bible says that God gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. That's not what I said, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you repent and you're baptized, you will get the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says if you ask him, he'll give you the Holy Ghost. The Bible says these things. It's not me. Please just accept whatever the Bible says.